Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
205 years ago, a lawyer turned textbook writer turned newspaper editor published the first American English dictionary. It was 1806. And the title was A Compendious Dictionary of the English Language. That man was Noah Webster. And today you can say, I'm going to go check Webster's instead of using the word dictionary at all, at least in the U.S. Joshua Kendall joins us now. He's the author of a new biography of Webster, and it's called The Forgotten Founding Father, Noah Webster's Obsession and the Creation of an American Culture. Josh Kendall joins us from our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. Josh, it appears that your argument in your book is that Noah Webster, we should call him a founding father because while people like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were working on government and politics, Noah Webster was obsessed with recording and sort of shaping the American character.
Yes. Webster, as you say, is synonymous today with the dictionary. But he was really a mover and shaker in American culture and politics, particularly in the 1780s. During his lifetime, his best-known book was his Speller, which came out in 1783, and that taught five generations of Americans how to read, and that unified Americans with American English because our language was really up for grabs in the 1780s.
And it did something else. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Josh, but it did something else, which is that not only did it teach five generations of kids to read, but it did it in a relatively secular way, which was kind of a new innovation.
It was a secular way. And also, Webster was very clear. Webster was pretty crotchety, and he was a difficult person. But on the page, he could always connect with readers. And he himself was a teacher. He finished Yale in 1778, and during the Revolution, it was tough to get a job. And the only job he could get was as a lowly paid school teacher. And as a teacher, he saw that students had trouble learning from the last Speller, which was a British text. And he saw some of the problems with that text, and in his clear, concise manner, came up with this work, which was kind of the Harry Potter of its day. It sold 100 million copies between 1783 and 1900. And in its first year, it sold 5,000 copies in a country with only 3 million inhabitants.
Joshua Kendall is the author of The Forgotten Founding Father, Noah Webster's Obsession and the Creation of an American Culture. You know, if you go back and read the Federalist Papers or some of the documents and the writings of the late 1700s, you see in American culture this sense of we have our own approach to all kinds of things in the United States. How was the Webster Dictionary perceived as a manifesto by all the people who used it to, I presume, make their spelling correct?
Right. Well, again, the dictionary that we know him today by was a late work. And as you said, in 1806, Webster had so many other roles. In the 1790s, he was an editor of New York City's first daily newspaper. The New York Post was established in 1801 because Webster and Hamilton had a fight. So in 1798, he sells his newspaper, and he's making money from the newspaper and the Speller, and he decides that he wants to write a dictionary. And he spends the next 30 years on the dictionary. And as you say, in 1806, he writes this warm-up exercise called a compendious dictionary. And it's funny because the big dictionary that he wanted to replace was by Samuel Johnson. But the little dictionary, the compendious, was a replacement for a dictionary written by Samuel Johnson Jr., who was actually America's first lexicographer. And Webster comes up with the compendious. And then for the next 22 years, it's the American dictionary. And quoting Johnson in the preface to the American Dictionary, he says that what really distinguishes a nation is its authors. And Webster inserts in the definitions quotations from Washington, Jay, and Madison. And by doing so, he really shows that America's writers can stack right up there with the great British immortals that Johnson's always quoting, like Milton and Shakespeare and the like. And that also shows the difference between the American language and the British language, that the British language is more poetic, that our great writers tend to be politicians, and that we don't really have that poetic tradition that the Brits have. But Webster, you know, really established an American identity.
Yeah, and a voice identity. As well. We're speaking with Josh Kendall, author of The Forgotten Founding Father, Noah Webster's Obsession and the Creation of American Culture. And we want to get our listeners to comment with their own favorite American words. This is something we've been asking for. People have suggested words like jazz, apple pie, baseball as their favorite American words. You can give us yours at 8778-MY-TAKE.
Gnarly.
Gnarly. Is that? Yeah, that would be an American word. Yeah. Radical. No, that's not. But it's an American usage of it. So, Josh Kendall, I mean, one of the things that makes him, for you, a forgotten founding father is your book really goes into how he was sort of behind the scenes while these other events were going on that we know so much about from our classes in American history. Noah Webster was back there behind the scenes insisting that the United States not only be a separate government, but that we were a separate people with our own culture. And we didn't need the Oxford Dictionary. We needed our own. We needed our own lexicon.
Right. And it's a funny thing that in the 1780s, Samuel Johnson was revered. And even though we had gotten that the English language, and there was some concern that maybe we shouldn't even speak English because we had just gotten rid of King George, but Americans all love Samuel Johnson. So,
Samuel Johnson is the reason why we're speaking English instead of moving on to something like French? Is that what you're saying?
Well, in the 1780s, the language was up for grabs, and it was Webster's decision. And there were some people making a serious argument that Americans should speak German. German was then the Spanish of the day, spoken by about 10% of the people. And Webster made the decision that we should speak English, but we should speak in American English. And he codified that with the speller. And then 50 years later, he cemented American English as our language with the dictionary. But as he was writing the dictionary, a lot of Americans said, why bother? We have Johnson. And he said, well, we really need this American identity, and we really should do it our way. And that was a consistent theme from the 1780s.
Imagine if he'd been an Iroquois.
Josh Kendall, author of The Forgotten Founding Father, Noah Webster's Obsession and the Creation of an American Culture. Noah Webster, the man we have to thank for not speaking German. Thanks, Josh.
My pleasure.
You can actually test your knowledge of the Webster Dictionary and some quintessentially American words. Head over to the quiz at our website, thetakeaway.org. Deborah on Facebook says, that vocab test was a humbling experience. I only got 2 out of 5. Ouch. But now I know what a sock puppet is.
What do you think the most quintessential American word is? Caldwell, New Jersey texts my nomination for the American word jailbait, a direct mess and sense of humor to it. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.